Verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love and goodness in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word and get the answers we need for life and even afterlife. So we pray tonight, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive to your word. May we respond to your word. May we learn its truths and apply them to our lives. And we pray, Lord, in all things you might be pleased. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Siemens, preacher of God's word, was asked one time by a Muslim, why are you a Christian? And his answer was, if you are walking down the road and you come to a Y, and you either can go left or you can go right, and when you come to that Y, you find two people. One is alive, breathing, talking, and sitting in front of you. The other is dead and laying in front of you. And you're at the Y in the road, and you got to choose, you're going to go left or right. Which guy would you ask? He said, that's why I'm a Christian. Because I want to ask the guy who's alive. Did you know that if you are an adult of average weight, in 24 hours, in one day's time, your heart beats 103,689 times. Your blood travels 168,000 miles. You breathe 23,040 times. You inhale 438 cubic feet of air. You eat 3.25 pounds of food. You drink 2.9 quarts of liquids. You lose 7/8 of a pound of waste. I wonder who measured that. You speak 48,000 words, including some unnecessary ones. You move 750 muscles. Your nail grows 0.000046 inches. Your hair grows 0.01714 of an inch. You exercise, this can't be true of everyone, but you exercise 7 billion brain cells. Can't be true of everyone. But you know what? No matter what fountain of youth you use, your body is wearing out. Sooner or later, no matter what your genetics, no matter what your diet, no matter what your lifestyle or amount of exercise, one day your body will stop working. For some, before that happens, they will face many physical ailments. For others, they will be healthy all the way until the day their heart stops. But this body that we are living in, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, is just a tent. And one day we will expel it, we will leave it, and we will get a new body. And as Paul deals with this whole idea of the resurrection, in the longest chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, 58 verses, he begins to talk in verse 35 about the body. And he begins by answering, I believe, some of the questions that the Corinthians were asking. So let's, number one tonight, consider the questions. Consider the questions. Notice the questions that were asked of Paul, and he is now responding to in verse 35. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? After we all die and we go in the resurrection, how are we going to be raised? With what kind of body will we have? What kind of body do they come? When we die and we raise, what kind of body are we going to have? Now, there are two possibilities. Either Paul is answering a question that they have asked, which I believe that is what he's doing, or he's kind of just raising a hypothetical question, which he often does. Again, remember, back in verse 12, there were some who were saying that there is no resurrection. But if there is, what kind of body are we going to have? After we die, we got to come up with some kind of body. What is it going to be like? How will it be different? Or will it be different at all? So with that question found in verse 35, beginning in verse 36, he begins to answer it. So number two, comprehend the answers. And that's what I really want to spend most of the time on tonight, is the answers that we are given here. Verse 36, you foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So the question is asked, the response is given, you foolish person. The word foolish means ignorant. He's kind of saying, don't you know? Don't you have an understanding of what the body will be like? And then he begins to give the answer. Now, he begins giving the answer first by comparison. First, he compares our body with seeds. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You know, if you take a seed, and Connie and I, well, especially Connie, is flower challenged. You give her flowers, and I guarantee she'll kill them. They'll die. But we think we have found out why most of them die. We used to have a tree in front of our house, and that blocked most of the sun during the day. So we needed flowers that could live without sunlight. We didn't. They always died. Well, we got rid of that tree. In fact, most people can't find our house anymore. They look for the tree, and they drive right on by. Tree's gone. Well, we, like most people, we buy flowers that are already starting to grow, except for last year. Last year, we bought some flowers that were just seeds. We planted those seeds in the ground, and they became the biggest, best-looking flowers I think we had in the front of the house. So this year, we're not going to buy any flowers that are already flowers. We're going to buy them as seeds and let them grow. So what he says here is when you look at a seed and you plant that seed does not come to life unless it first dies. You know, you have a flower that is alive, the seeds are there, they have to die before they can live. And that is true of our bodies. It first must die before it can germinate, before it can live. Jesus gave us this very same thought in John chapter 12. The idea is, if we are going to live forever, these bodies must first die. And even those who go in the rapture, who will not have died physically in this world, at some point, those bodies that they go to heaven with, they have to die so that they can get their heavenly body. So we compare our bodies to the seed, just like seeds, we must first die. Notice verse 37. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but the bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. Second thought about our bodies. What is sown is different from what it becomes. The bodies we have right now in this earth will be different from the bodies we get in heaven. They're not going to be the same. They're going to be different. What is produced is not the same as what is planted. The original and final forms are not the same. When Jesus rose from the dead, his body was radically changed. Let me give you a couple examples. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I want you to notice with me verse 31. Jesus is talking with some disciples. They don't know who he is. This after his resurrection. And then in verse 31, it says, and their eyes were open, they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. So Jesus, now resurrected body, comes before them. He stands in their presence, and all of a sudden, they're walking down the road, and he vanishes. There 1 second, gone the next. Luke 24, verse 31. Look at verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. Disciples now are all gathered together, Jesus not with them, and they're just in there talking. All of a sudden, Jesus, they're in their presence. The body he had after the resurrection was different from the body he had before the resurrection. Turn with me to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John. Let me show you another one. John chapter 20. So can you imagine, you decide that you're at church and you forget something home. And you need it for here because of whatever you're going to do. And you say, oh man, I got to go all the way home. I got to come all the way back. I'm going to be late for service. But I got to do it. I better go do it. So you run all the way home, and then you get back maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes late, but you get back to church. If you had a body like that, you could say, oh, man, I forgot something home. Boom, I'm home. Boom, I'm back to church. It'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So here now the disciples are standing in a locked room, talking with one another, and all of a sudden Jesus is there. How'd he get there? Again, his body was different. Somehow he was able to go through the locked doors, and I think he just kind of walked right through those doors. And he stood there in their presence. Says in 1 Corinthians 15, our bodies will be like seed. What is sown will be different from what it becomes. We're not told a lot of the things that our bodies will be like, or a lot of the things that our bodies will be different, but we know it'll be different and very possible. Might be able to just boom like that, we'll be someplace different. Boom like that, we can walk through doors. We will have different bodies. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 38. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. God determines what our bodies will become. That is not our choice, that is God's choice. God is in control of nature and so controls what it becomes. Yet it continues the same life form. Wheat does not become corn, and corn does not become wheat. You know, when we're resurrected, we're not going to have the body of a gorilla. We're going to have the body of a human being. Jesus revealed himself to all the other disciples after his resurrection. He still looked like Jesus. When Moses and Elijah came and stood with Jesus in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were able to look at Moses and Elijah, and they were still Moses and Elijah. They still looked like them. You know, this is one of the great arguments against evolution that often is not used. One form does not become another. It still is what it is. We will still be human beings when we get to heaven. Bodies will be different, but not so much different that we're no longer human. Now, not only does Paul here compare our bodies with seeds, but he also compares them with flesh. Look at verse 39. For not all flesh is the same. But there's one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. All flesh is not the same. The flesh of a man, animals, birds, fish are all different. There will be diversity in heaven. Just as no two snowflakes are alike, or no two blades of grass are alike, or no two flowers are exactly alike. We will not all look the same. People often ask me, how old do you think we will be? Well, my guess is that we will be the same age that Adam and Eve were when God created them. What age was that? I don't know. I think we will all be mature human beings. We will all yet have different bodies. We will not all be the same. We will all be different. Now, in heaven, the Bible says there will not be male and female. So our bodies will be different. We will not have children, but yet we will be different in some ways so that we can recognize each other and yet be different. We will not all be kind of cookie-cutter bodies that all just look the same. Notice here the third comparison in verse 40 and 41 is with the heavenly bodies. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly bodies is one kind, the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun and another of the moon and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. Heavenly bodies are not all the same. They are different. Sun, moon, stars, and even stars from stars are different. So again, the argument here, the thought here is there will be diversity. God can make infinite variety. And our heavenly bodies will be different from our earthly bodies, and yet they will be diverse. I believe when I get to heaven, I will recognize Connie for who she is. And I will recognize others for who they are. We will not be cookie-cutter bodies. We will all be different. Well, not only are we told here of our bodies in relationship to what we're the same as or what we can compare ourselves to, but also what we can contrast ourselves to. Notice beginning in verse 42. The way our heavenly bodies will be different from our earthly bodies. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. Now, it is important that we understand what these words mean so we can see the difference between our earthly and our heavenly body. And there are four comparisons here. The perishable imperishable relates to longevity or durability. Longevity or durability. The word imperishable means immortality or incorruptibility. It means the state of not being subject to decay leading to death. It is possible to translate this clause, it will be raised and will never again die. Our bodies in heaven will not grow old or decay in any way. We will never hear that phrase, as I mentioned this morning, old age does not come alone. We will not die. Our bodies will not grow old. Our bodies will not decay. You know, there's a point in life where we think of life as we're becoming more mature, we're becoming stronger, we're getting from a baby's body to a child's body, to a teen's body, to a young adult's body, to a mature body. It doesn't last very long till a body that starts to decay. In heaven, our bodies will never suffer decay. We will have mature bodies that endure, that do not die, that have longevity, that have immortality. All those aches and pains that you feel, never in heaven. All those thoughts as you get older of, you know, getting closer to death, never have them again. And I know for me, as I kind of mentioned this morning, that is really hard to grasp. It is really hard to grasp an eternal life that never decays. You know, I can kind of grasp 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, but I can't grasp a million years from now, 10 billion years from now. Way beyond that, years from now. and our bodies never going downhill. Just staying where they're at. No death. Look at the second contrast. It is sown in dishonor, verse 43. It is raised in glory. I think this contrast pertains to value or perhaps appearance. When man sinned, he was characterized by dishonor. We have dishonored God. You know, every so often people do Bible studies and they'll say, is there anything about your body that you do not like? And if there's something about your body that you do not like, you need to realize that God created you the way you are and you ought to be happy with your body. Garbage. I don't buy that. God did not create us the way that we are. Or let me say this way, God did not intend to create us the way that we are. God intended to create us like he created Adam and Eve. Perfect. Since our bodies have been infected by sin, there are certainly going to be things that we don't like about ourselves. You know, in all honesty, I wouldn't mind being a little bit taller. In all honesty, there are some things about my body I just really don't like. And I know that if Adam and Eve had not sinned, these things simply would not be true. Now, that does not mean we spend our entire life sulking over the things we don't like about our body. We need to be content with where we're at and content with how we are. But we need to realize that these bodies were created in dishonor, not in glory. Dishonor means disgrace or shame. These bodies are disgraced or shame. Glory means brightness or splendor or radiance or honor, and that's not true of these bodies. Ed and I were talking before church about, you know, guys that get hair transplants. Ladies, you wear makeup, at least maybe most of you. You know, I was watching yesterday that men can now buy T-shirts that are made out of spandex so that when you wear them, it pulls in your belly. We do all kinds of things to cover up these bodies. And the reality is, these bodies aren't glorious. You know, when you get to heaven, ladies, you're not going to be an hour in the bathroom. Teenagers aren't going to be spending 3 hours putting on their makeup and doing their hair and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to have to go somewhere, and men are going to have to, you know, turn to their wives and say, come on, hurry up, we got to get there. Actually, there won't be husbands and wives in heaven. But the idea is that our bodies have been affected by sin. Therefore, they're not glorious. They don't have honor. They have shame. But one day they will. One day our bodies will be perfect. One day there will be no plastic surgeons doing surgery. Because we will have a glorious body, we will have a body that is raised in honor and glory and will be much different than these bodies. Contrast number three. It's also seen in verse 43. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Contrast here pertains to ability. These bodies are sown weak. We have a body of weakness. We get diseases. We get sickness. I was talking to Ashley and Keith, a young couple coming to our church now, and they got the virus that was going around, you know, we just kind of throw up for a few days. And then they got better. It went through their entire family. And then they got better, and they came to church. And when they came to church, they actually came on the day I was just getting back from my virus, and every one of them got sick again. So they said to me this morning that it was my fault that I gave it to them. And I said, well, I don't know if I did or not, but you can blame me, because I was blaming them when I got sick. You know, in heaven, we're not going to get sick. We're not going to deal with disease. None of this stuff will be part of us. It's just not going to be part of our body. And it's part of us because of sin that's affected our body, and it's part of this world. But in heaven, there aren't going to be any more flu shots. There aren't going to be any more doctors practicing medicine. For we will have bodies that are raised in power, no longer subject to disease, sickness, disability, or weakness. Number 4, verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is also a spiritual body. This contrast pertains to a sphere of existence. It does not mean that when we get to heaven, we're going to be a bunch of ghosts kind of floating around on clouds. It doesn't mean that when it says a spiritual body. It will be a body, but it will not be a body that is made for this physical world. We will get a body that is made for heaven. Do you know, even in this world, although I do not believe in evolution even in the least, I do believe that depending on where you live, your body begins to, it deals with what is going on around it. For example, we know that if you live in Alaska, your skin tends to be thicker than those who live in Florida. And we know that if you live up north, your blood tends to be thicker and it tends to be thinner if you live in the south. Our bodies kind of get ready, if you live in the north, for the cold. And if you live in the south, it gets ready for the warmth. In heaven, we will have a body that is raised ready for heaven. That is, lives in a heaven that is the place that God has created. Created for us, which also tells us that those who have rejected God, those who have not received Jesus as their Savior, when God, at the great white throne judgment, rejects them because they have rejected Him, and He sends people to hell, we know that they will be given a body that will be prepared for hell. A body that will be burned for all eternity but will never be used up. And they will suffer for their sin. Just like our body will help us to enjoy heaven. We have a body that will be raised imperishable. A body that will be raised glorious, a body that will be raised powerful, a body that will be raised a spiritual body, which will be much different than the bodies we presently have. So we have comparison, we have contrast, and then we have a description beginning in verse 45 of how our bodies will be different as it relates to Adam and Christ. Adam became a living being. Christ became a life-giving spirit. Notice in verse 45. Thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The natural came first, then the spiritual. Verse 47, the first Adam was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. Adam was of the earth, Christ was of heaven. So we now are of the earth, but one day we will be of heaven, just like Jesus. Verse 48:9, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. As is the man of heaven, so all also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. As was Adam, so are we now. As is Christ now, so shall we be. Our bodies are now like Adam's body, ready for this world. But one day when we get to heaven, our bodies in heaven will be like the body of Christ. So maybe just as he kind of appeared and left, and just as he kind of was outside of a locked door, and then all of a sudden was in the locked door, in the room, so shall our bodies be. The bodies we have now are not permanent bodies. And I am thankful for that. We will get a new body at the resurrection. A body different than these. A body better than these. A body that is imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual, prepared for heaven, ready to endure year after year, thousands of years after thousands of years. In fact, a body that's ready for when there will be no time in heaven, there will not be time. Won't need this watch. And it will go on for all eternity. I can't wait. In fact, just like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I groan for that body. Can't wait. There's a hymn that says what a day it will be and how true that will be. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, I thank you that what we have now will not be like what we have then. I thank you, Lord, that what is true of our bodies now is not even close to what will be true of our bodies in heaven. And Father, therefore, we look forward to that day when we stand in your presence. Help us, Father, while we're in these bodies to bring you praise. Help us while we're in these bodies to honor you. But Lord, help us never to forget that a day is coming that is much better than today. Help us, Lord, to look forward to that day. Help us to look past our problems and difficulties in this world. Help us to look past all the evil and wickedness that happens in this world. And help us, Lord, to look past this world. And help us, Lord, to live today, keeping in mind what will happen in all eternity. And with that in mind, Lord, help us to get through this day. For we pray in Jesus' name.